We'll pause for a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come in your presence right now. I ask you to have your way here today. I give you all praise, all glory, and all honor. Father, I just ask you to just inspire what you want me to say here today and just let it minister to your people. We give you all the praise, we give you all the glory, and we give you all the honor. In the name above all names, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. This has been an unusual week this week, and you know, we're getting ready to celebrate Memorial Day, and you know, Memorial Day is a time where we celebrate, and what we really do is we remember the cost that freedom cost, because a lot of people have given their life for this country and for us to be able to do the things we're able to do. You know, we're standing in here, and we were in Sunday school this morning, and various people were speaking out and talking and everything, and you know, in a lot of countries that couldn't take place. In a lot of countries, you know, you'd be hauled outside and executed for talking about Jesus or talking about what God means in your life, you know. And you know, I think sometimes we just don't really realize what freedom costs. It's not free. It costs something. And you know, the ultimate freedom that we have is what Jesus did on Calvary. He gave us the freedom to walk in newness of life, the freedom to walk in victory, the freedom to walk with Him on a daily basis and trusting in Him and just following the leading of His Holy Spirit. And you know, a lot of times we make Christianity sometimes harder than it is. I know, you know, we tend to teach a little bit of deeper word here most of the time, and we get into definitions of words and different things like that. But you know, if you want to break it all down to its simplest point, what it really is involved there is asking the Lord on a daily basis, what would you have me do today, Lord? And just trusting that His guiding hand will guide you and lead you and take you right where you need to go. You know, I like what Debbie said about being lost. It's not fun to be lost, you know. But I like the answer that she got from the one guy. He said, that way. That sort of almost sounds like what an angel would say to you. That way, right there. That's right. Without going into a lot of directions and everything. I know when I have to laugh sometimes. Mark could probably attest to this. When we worked at the shop, and Wiley would send you someplace, oh God, he gave the awfulest directions in the world. Oh, they were horrible. You never could find where you were going whenever, because what he would do is he would tell you, go down here, make a left, make a right, there's an Arby's over here, and this is over there, and something else is over there, and then you turn there, and by the time he got done, you thought, I don't even know what he said. And you was inevitably going to get lost if you didn't have a GPS or something. Sometimes what I would do if I was going somewhere for him, I would go in and call the people I was supposed to be going and say, how do you get where you're at? Because if you didn't do that, you weren't going to get there. You was going to get lost. But you know what? The neat thing about the Lord is that no matter where you're at in Him, you're never lost. He's always there with you. He's that friend that sticks closer than a brother. He's your ever-present help in time of need. He's always there. And, you know, I was just thinking about Margaret. When we first moved out here, you know, Margaret was used to being in Western Hills, and we lived over there for quite a few years. She knew her way over around there and a lot of them back roads and all that kind of stuff. Well, we moved out here, and I'd get a call from her when I was at work. And she'd say, I'm lost. I don't know where I'm at. I'd say, well, what road are you on? She'd say, well, I'm on 275, but I don't know which way to go. I said, well, you know, 275 is a big circle. And I said, it depends on where you're at. You have to tell me something about where you're at, whether you go east, west, north, or south, because a circle goes in a circle, you know. And usually, eventually, she'd say, well, I'm by this particular place or something like that. And then I could tell her, well, She'd say, well, I don't understand how you can go north, south, east, or west on the same road. I said, well, it's a big circle. You know, you have to realize it goes in all directions. And finally, she started learning her way around up here. But she used to call me, and she'd almost be about ready to cry because she'd say, I don't know where to go, how to go home, because she'd have went somewhere. And you know, sometimes you feel like you're going in circles in your life. You feel you just don't know exactly what you're supposed to do and where you're supposed to go. But you know, the neat thing about it is God has a plan. And in His plan, He knows exactly how to get you to where you need to go. And a lot of times we feel like we've taken detours, and we feel like we're in positions to where we think, oh my God, am I in the right position in You, Lord? But I got news for you. He knew you was going to be right where you are today, and He knows exactly how to get you from there to the next point. And sometimes we don't always like what's going on. I know, you know, with the things that's went on this week, it was heartbreaking to see that all those young children got killed down there, and it just breaks your heart. I mean, that's just terrible. And I mean, especially when you figure how innocent little kids are, you know. This one little girl, she survived, and she said, I knew that if I was going to die, that the angels would come and get me. Don't that just break your heart? But you know what? I think that's why God spared her, because she had faith in Him. And you know, the one little kid put blood on themselves and acted up and played dead, you know. And you think, what in the world could cause somebody to be in that position? But you know, the boy that did that, he was in torment and stuff himself. And we don't know what in the world was going on inside of that young man. And you know, to be honest with you, we need to pray for him too, that God would bring release to him, you know, and forgiveness, because I mean, that's just an awful thing what he did, you know. But you know, we live in a day and an age when you know, there's just too many things out there, especially with young people. They're just exposed to too many violent, terrible, awful things, you know, things that we, when we were little kids, didn't really know that much about, you know. I remember we'd go outside at daybreak, whenever we could get out the door. A lot of times we didn't come home till lunch or come home till it got dark outside. You know, we were outside romping and running around and playing and stuff. And kids nowadays, you know, you almost sometimes are afraid to let them outside, you know. There was a shooting up at Walmart up here at, you know, up at the Bridgewater Walmart over the weekend. I was talking to the person up there, and he said, this guy came in and he was stealing stuff, and a guy who was a security guard that didn't even work there, but he was a security guard in his profession, saw him stealing the stuff and tried to tackle him, you know, and got him down, and the guy ended up getting a gun and shooting him, you know, and killed him, you know. And then the guys at the door, he got shot on the way out too when the man went outside. So you just never know. I mean, you know, and I think Joey had been up there just about 30 minutes before that happened, wasn't you, Joey? Yeah, that's, I mean, you just never know. You just never know. But thank God that, you know, when you're in His hand, His protection around you. And you know, Scripture says He give His angels charge over you, you know, and He does. You know, I believe He protects us, you know. But you know, it's some strange times that we live in, and you know, as we should pray for our young people when they go in these schools and stuff. And nowadays, it's not only schools; it's churches and every place else that people are going and doing these things. We just need to be in prayer, you know. And you know, it's just a strange time we're living in. You know, I was going to talk to you a little bit about, like I say, a little bit about Memorial Day today. And you know, there's been, during World War II, and matter of fact, one of my uncles, a lot of you guys know my one uncle, Wiley. He's about 97 or something like that. and he was in World War II. And his brother, Howard, was in World War II also, and Howard's about 92 or 93 or somewhere around there. He got to go on one of those flights where they go to Washington, where they pick them up and take them, the honor flight. Yeah, he got to do that. And, you know, it was really a big thrill for him, you know. And, you know, I'm proud of them guys because I have some examples of people who went and fought. And, you know, Howard, I think I've shared with you all before, he got his hand blew up. And he's got different fingers in different places on his hand where they've actually reattached fingers. He's got a finger where his thumb would be and stuff, and he's only got a couple other fingers on that hand, but he can use his hand, you know. And I tell you, it's amazing the stuff that some of those surgeons were able to do for them guys back in that day, you know. And you know, but somehow a hand grenade got blowed up by in his hand or something, and really messed him up. But you know, he never let that pause, you know, keep him from doing anything. He became a draftsman, and he worked for Milacron for years and years and years until he retired, you know. And you know, he was always real athletic, and you know, played basketball and everything else, you know, and never let any of that stuff hold him back, you know. But, you know, we need to be thankful for the people who went before us and who came before us, and, you know, the ones that went to Vietnam and went over there, and, you know, all these other conflicts that the United States has been into, you know, Afghanistan and, you know, Iraq and all these other things, you know. And be thankful that we've got people who were willing to go, because, you know, it's a voluntary service anymore. But I'm going to tell you this little story here, and, you know, some of you probably have heard this, and if you've never, you might have even seen the movie, and this movie is called Hacksaw Ridge, you know. And the kind of the star of that movie is this guy named Desmond Doss, and he was a Christian, you know. He was a Seventh-day Adventist, but he was a Christian. And he didn't believe in killing, but he actually worked on in a shipyard, so he didn't have to go into service. You know, he could have got a exemption because he was working in a shipyard and they were building ships for, you know, for the United States and all that kind of stuff. But he wanted to go into service and serve, but he didn't believe in killing. And he didn't want to carry a gun. And, you know, he was really mistreated bad in there, really bad. And, you know, the guys made fun of him and called him names and all kind of stuff. And, you know, they told, he was willing to go, he just didn't want to carry a gun. And he wanted to be a medic, you know. And at first they weren't going to let him do it, and finally I guess they decided to let him do it. Well, my Uncle Wiley, he was a medic in the service also, and I asked him one time, I said, "Do medics carry guns?" He said, "Yeah, we carry guns." He said, "I had a gun, you know." He said, "Because they'd shoot at you, they'd try to kill you." He said, "Sometimes you had to shoot back, you know, while you were trying to help somebody, or else you'd get, you know, you'd get killed." And I think I told you all a few weeks ago, Parker was doing an interview with him about World War II, and he was thinking about doing some kind of documentary on him at one time. And I took him over to Wiley's house, and he talked to him. And the one thing that impressed me the most about Wiley was he said, "I never had hard feelings towards those people when we were fighting them." He said, "Because I knew they were only following orders, just like I was following orders." And he said, I thought, wow, that had took the Lord, because he saw people blown to pieces and torn up and everything else. Because sometimes a lot of people build up a lot of hatred for the enemies when they have that stuff. But, you know, but anyway, this Desmond Doss, he was, they gave him a hard time all the time he was in the service. And when they were over in, I think it was Okinawa, I'm somewhere over in there, and there was this one place where there was this big steep ridge, you know, and it was almost straight up. And the enemy was at the top of this, and they kept trying to take that. You know, they had to climb up and try to take it. And they were just losing people left and right and getting shot. Well, he climbed up there to go after people when they were wounded. Well, he didn't have a gun. And even when the commander up there told them all to fall back and just go, you know, get back down because too many of them were getting killed and stuff, he disobeyed orders and stayed up there. And he kept getting people. And he ended up saving the lives of 75 men by himself by getting them and dragging them and lowering them down the hill by himself, you know. And then, you know, in the movie part of it, which it doesn't say that in this, but he was getting so worn out because he was the only one up there. When these guys would holler out, he'd go out there and a couple times he played dead and everything else so that they didn't kill him. And then he'd pick them up and carry them while he was dodging bullets and carry them to the edge and then lower them down all by himself. You know, he'd tie something around them and lower them down. And he saved 75 guys. And he just kept saying, "Just one more, Lord. Just one more." And that makes me cry because he was really showing what true love is, what Christian love is. These were the same guys that were making fun of him and that were giving him a hard time because he wouldn't carry a gun and try to kill nobody. And he ended up saving 75 guys. And then he got wounded. He got blown up by a bomb, and a shrapnel got him in the leg. And they were carrying him away on a stretcher. And there was another guy hurt. And he told the stretcher guy to stop. And he said, you leave me and take him. And they took the other guy. And, you know, he got shot in the shoulder, and his arm got messed up and everything. But, you know, he was the only person that ever received the Congressional Medal of Honor that never fired a shot. But you know what? That just goes to show you what God can do. Because this man was a Christian, and, you know, he was a perfect example of the love of God. You know, and God knew he had the right man in the right spot. And I don't know what happened to those 75 guys that he saved, but I guarantee you that some of them went on and did something for the Lord later on because they had to have seen the love of Jesus in that man, you know. But, you know, so many times we just don't know and we just don't understand why these things happen and what happens, you know. And you look at that thing down there where all those little kids were shot up, and you think, Lord, what was that all about? And we don't understand, but I tell you, God does, and he knows. And I believe that he took every one of them little kids right up into his presence when that happened. And, you know, that's a terrible thing to happen to little kids, but I'll tell you this. You know, we know our God is a loving God. He's a merciful God. And we know that even when Jesus was born, you know, that Herod killed all of the kids from the time little babies all the way up to about 3 or 4 years old. Because when the wise men, or the whatever you want to call them, showed up and they started asking about, they'd seen the star in the heavens. And you know, when you realize even that, and the scriptures say that the heavens declare him, sometimes the children of this world are wiser in their own generation than the children of light. Those people actually knew that a great king had been born because of just from seeing the stars. And, you know, and I know sometimes you think, well, how could they have known that? I've got a book that's called The Glory of the Stars, and in that book it talks about all of the different zodiac signs and everything, and it tells you the names of the stars that were in them in ancient times, not what they're called today necessarily, but what they were called in ancient times. And if you read through that and you really look at all that, you see that it tells the whole story of salvation through those names. So the heavens really do declare him, you know. And here these guys came, and, you know, Herod, then he had all the young children killed, you know. And Mary was warned of an angel to take Jesus and go down into Egypt so that he would still be alive. So even in that generation, he was the only one saved in that generation, but he was the Savior of the world. And you know, when we come to realize, you know, you say, well, how can some of these horrible things happen? Well, they're horrible in our eyes, and I know that we look at it and we think, oh gosh, that's awful. And it is awful, you know, to see little kids. But I'm going to tell you what, every one of those little kids, I believe, went straight into the presence of God, you know. And we know in his presence there's fullness of joy. So, you know, that's the only way I can even explain it or even deal with it, you know. But, you know, so many times in the day and age we live in, we're going to see things and hear things that are going to be disturbing. And it's probably not going to get better. You know, there's a scripture that talks about gross darkness covering the people, but it tells us to arise and shine, for our light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon us, in Isaiah chapter 60. You know, and it talks about kings coming to the brightness of our rising. And you know, I believe that we're coming to a day and an age when God's going to really bring us up into a place where he really is going to see the glory of God. We're going to become the light of God in the earth. And we're just going to have to be obedient on a daily basis and do what God tells us to do. You know, I'm just going to read you a couple of little things here. And I'm not going to talk to you real long. And I asked the Lord, I didn't feel like the Lord wanted me to go into a bunch of scriptures today or anything. And, you know, he didn't give me a bunch of scriptures to go into. So, but I'm just going to share a couple of things here with you. It says, if your mind can conceive it and your heart can believe it, then you can achieve it. You know, it defines the purpose of starting point of all achievement. And you know, you need to ask God, even Lord, what would you have me do in this day and age? What would you have me do? You need to ask him that on a daily basis. And I believe when you do that, he'll let you know what he wants you to do. Sometimes it'll be nothing, but sometimes it'll just be kind to somebody, or just treat somebody good, or whatever. And this next one says, Lord, grant me that I may always desire more than I can accomplish, because then I will have to totally depend on you. It says, for your strength is made perfect in weakness. You know, Patrick Henry said, give me liberty or give me death. Think about this. His country people came here for religious freedom to worship God and overcame the largest military in the world, you know. And in James it says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholds himself and goes away, and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. But whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. And you know, I asked the Lord one time when I read that years ago, I said, Lord, what is the perfect law of liberty? And I felt like he told me the perfect law of liberty is submission. Now that seems to be like an oxymoron, you know, when you get into it, because when you say liberty and submission, that don't sound like you're being at liberty. But let me tell you what, it is in God. Because when you submit to Him, submit your way unto the Lord and He'll direct your paths, you know. And when you submit to Him, that's you're moving into the perfect law of liberty. And that liberty will be because that he directs your paths and shows you exactly where to go and what to do and when to do it and how to do it. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Okay. Now I'm going to get off of the serious stuff and I'm going to read you a couple jokes, okay? And then we're going to close with that, okay? I know it makes me, you know, some of that stuff makes me cry. I guess I've found out that the older I get, the softer I get about things. And when things touch my heart, you know, I cry anymore. And, you know, it just happens, you know, and that's okay. And I'm not ashamed of that when it happens. I just know that Jesus stood and wept over Jerusalem, and He said, "How often would I gather you like a mother hen gathers her chicks or her brood?" And He told him, "You would not," you know. And I'm going to tell you what, if Jesus cries over people, you know, then we ought to cry over people too. Sean Long had heard of the story of his family tradition. It seemed that his father, his grandfather, and his great-grandfather had all been able to walk on water on their 18th birthday. On that special day, they would walk across the lake to their local pub, Murphy's Bar, for their first legal drink. So when Sean's 18th birthday arrived, he said to his friend Mick, took a boat, and they rowed out to the middle of the lake. And Sean stepped out of the boat, and he immediately sank and nearly drowned. He was only saved by Mick, who managed to pull him back into the boat. Furious and confused, he went to see his grandmother and said, "Gram, 'tis my 18th birthday, so why can't I walk across the water like my father and me grandfather and his father before him?" Grandma looked deep into Sean's troubled eyes, looking at him with kind, benevolent eyes, and said, "Because they were born in January and the lake was frozen over. You were born in August." And I hate to say this, but she said, "You idiot." Sometimes traditions can blow things out of place, can't they? Make it way bigger than it really was. Praise the Lord. Okay. Let's see here a minute. I have one more here, and I'm going to read you this, and then we're going to close with this. And I like this because, you know, this isn't something that I wrote. This was written by Laura Ding Edwards, okay? "If the mountain seems too big today, then climb a hill instead. If the morning brings you sadness, it's okay to stay in bed. If the day ahead weighs heavy and your plans feel like a curse, there's no shame in rearranging. Don't make yourself feel worse. If a shower stings like needles and the bath feels like you'll drown, if you haven't washed your hair for days, don't throw away your crown. A day is not a lifetime. A rest is not a defeat. Don't think of it as failure, just a quiet, kind retreat. It's okay to take a moment from an anxious, fractured mind. The world will not stop turning while you get realigned. The mountain will still be there when you want to try again. You can climb it in your own time. Just love yourself till then." And you know what? I think a lot of times people get themselves, and I'm sure that even happened with that young man when he shot his grandmother and then he went in there and shot all those kids. I'm sure that he felt like his world was coming to an end because he didn't get his way. And maybe he'd been getting his way all of his whole life. Who knows? and he decided to shoot his grandmother because she wouldn't, supposedly because she wouldn't buy him a phone or get him a phone. That was what I heard. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's the gist of it, of what I heard. And you know what? I don't care what you're going through today, how hard it is today, it's not the end of the world. Just hang in there, trust the Lord, keep moving forward, and everything will be all right. Praise the Lord. If you all stand, we'll close in a word of prayer and get you out of here, and you can go eat lunch quick. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you, Father. I thank you that the greatest memorial that there ever was Jesus Christ, who died on Calvary for our sins. He is the greatest memorial ever for all mankind, because he died for the sins of the world. But the other side of that is, not only did he die for the sins of the world, but he rose again, which gives us the total hope of resurrection life in him. And we know that we have that resurrection life. And we're to reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. And just like Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ. And you know, Christ in us is our hope of glory. And Father, I ask you to bless your people. I ask you to bless them as they go forth. I ask you to just help them to be mindful of all the sacrifices that were made for America to be here and to be a free country like it is today, because there's been many, many people that's given their life to make this happen. And I believe that America was ordained of you, and it should be a light that's set on the world to help people and to bring salvation even to the masses. In Jesus' name we pray. I give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. And if anybody wants prayer, we'd be glad to pray with you. Or if anybody's got a word they want to share, anything they want to add, please feel free. Praise God. Well, you all go and have a wonderful day.